Let us pray together. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is great to see you today in person. And it is great to see the sun. Isn't it great to see the sun? I may not be saying that in August, but in February, it's great to see the sun and the warmth of the sun. And the St. Andrew community is focusing on the warmth of the sun, S-O-N, and the radiance of the sun this year. Particularly in a dark world, we need the light of Christ, the light of the world. And Christ shines on us so that we can be reflections of his light in the world, so we can be, as Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount calls us, to be the light of the world. And so we've been in a journey in the book of James, starting January 11th, I believe. We started a journey through James as he illuminated this brother of Jesus, this leader of the Jerusalem church. He illuminated for the scattered people of God, the Jewish Christians that were in diaspora around the empire, that in the midst of the bleak ways of the empire, that they can be illuminated by the light of Christ. And so on the 11th, we talked about the wisdom that we need to live in the midst of the trials of these days, that because of God's grace in our lives and God's work in our lives, we are not victims of circumstance, but we can be more than victorious through the one who loves us. And then the next week, we talked about in a world that is so filled with, it's just a kind of a listening, challenged world, right? Filled with just lots of venom and anger, rage, that doesn't produce the righteous ways that God wants. That doesn't produce a flourishing life. Instead, we can be quicker. We're not always quick to listen, right? I know I'm not. But we can be quicker to listen, to really work on that, and by the grace of God, and slow to really speak words that are helpful and slow to become angry. That leads to more a flourishing life and more flourishing, better relationships, a flourishing, beloved community. And last week, when many of us were online, we heard that the royal law, the to love your neighbor as yourself, is so much better than the discrimination and favoritism of this world, favoring the powerful, that they scratch their backs so they'll scratch ours. No, the royal law calls us to really walk in love and to love all people as God would have us love. And so today we're looking at a text that talks about claims. We have a lot of claims in this world. I've noticed that, I look on Instagram. I don't look on Instagram. My wife looks on Instagram and shares with me things. So I tried a couple of, during when we were at home, I tried a couple of hacks this week you put aluminum foil in your sock and it'll keep you warmer. And I don't know, it's probably user error, but it didn't work out for me. And another hack did not work out for me. And so a lot of claims out there. And AI has a lot of claims. You know, I looked this week and AI has already called the Super Bowl, by the way, and the exact score of the Super Bowl. So you know, why go through the motions? You know, AI has called it, and AI is always right, correct? You know, so we've got lots of claims, and there's claims about faith. Some polling suggests that in the world today, that there are between 2.3 and 2.6 billion Christians. People who profess to follow Jesus Christ. That would make the Christian movement the largest faith expression in the world. Almost one in three people on planet Earth following Jesus Christ. That's the claim. But I remember a preacher once preached a sermon that stepped on my toes. And he said, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Wow, ouch. Well, James is kind of calling us on that, calling those that claim to be Christian, 2.3 billion, 2.6 billion. He's saying, what good is it to claim to be, have faith, but not have deeds that really show evidence to that? Now, he then offers this kind of a outrageous example of someone coming for help, assistance, a brother or sister coming for assistance. I kind of envisioned, you know, it would be outrageous for a person to show up maybe 10 days ago at the storehouse or Joseph's coat and cold weather coming and needing a coat. It would be outrageous. It would be unthinkable, and it would never happen. They would get a coat, right? But James is saying that there are some that would just simply say, sorry, I'm holding this back for someone in greater need. Just be warm and safe. God bless. Be warm and safe. But not, it would be unthinkable not to provide something for them, right? But he was apparently talking to some in the midst of the diaspora that were so focused on their claims. I have faith. I'm not an atheist. I believe in God. They might have even prayed the Shema, the great prayer from Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, that observant Jews of that day and this day pray twice a day. They might have prayed that the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength. Twice a day, I pray that. And James would have said, it's good to believe in God. Jesus or James was pro-belief. It's good. But even the dark demonic powers acknowledge God exists and shudder. There needs to be something more. Something more. So Jesus, when he was asked about the greatest commandment of all, he did repeat the Shema. He repeated, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. But there's a second one likened to it. Do you remember what it is? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You need to also love yourself. It's hard to love your neighbor if you don't really love yourself. But it all comes from God. But Jesus put them together. And 1 John says they're really inseparable. You can't say you love God and not love your neighbor. It's got to be together. It's got to be consistent and tangible. 1 John says, sisters and brothers, do not just love with speech and words. Love in deed and in action. And so, James, what James is saying is he talks about this seed of faith that we've received. We talked about that in chapter 1, that he calls us to receive that word of truth, and that's the gospel. The gospel is that God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves in coming in Jesus, in his life and death and resurrection, and we receive that word of truth. It's like a seed. But James says that seed is there to grow. That's what seeds do. You plant them, they're planted in our heart, it's going to grow. He's later going to say, fig trees produce figs, right? A vineyard produces grapes. Olive trees produce olives. There's something that needs to be produced from our faith. Faith has the evidence. If we have experienced grace, we're probably going to become more gracious. If we've experienced love, you know, when we know we're loved, it's just easier to be loving. The scripture says we love, why? Because God first loved us. We've been loved so we can be more loving. We've been given grace so we can be more gracious in tangible ways. And so he talks about Abraham. Abraham and Sarah had faith, but they did something with it. Throughout their journey, They did something with it, even to the offering of Isaac and trust that Isaac would be even raised from the dead, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews tells us. He did something with it. And Rahab, whose vocational resume was less than desirable, okay? But she was known for her faithfulness in welcoming those that Joshua had sent to Jericho on reconnaissance. She knew God was up to something and was at work through this movement, the people of Israel. And so she did something. She welcomed them. She provided hospitality. And then she was then, because of that, included in the people of covenant. And you look in Hebrews chapter 11, she's included in the hall of faith of the great faithful people. And she's in the genealogy of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1. Rahab, because God doesn't see us for what we've been. God sees us for who we can be in our faith. And she did something with that faith. So faith does something. Now, there are some who would say, well, preacher, that's all well and good, but doesn't that contradict what Paul says about faith alone? I'm glad you asked that question, because Paul was, in the book of Galatians, very concerned about the importance of faith, that works of the law cannot save us. He was dealing most likely with people who thought, well, if I just keep the Sabbath perfectly, or get circumcised, or dietary perfection through clean eating, that will somehow gain me favor with God. He's saying that your diet is not going to save you. These actions are not going to save you. It's through faith. But faith in God's grace leads us to live lives that bear fruit, like in the same book. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit that leads us to lives that are more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more patient, more kind, more goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. There's a tangible result. And so in that way, Paul's not saying that James is not saying that faith is not important, but faith has evidence. And Paul's saying the same thing, that if we experience grace, there's going to be some evidence of grace in our lives. God loves us so much as we are, but loves us too much for us to stay exactly the way we are. God wants to meet me to be more loving, more holy, more like Jesus, as the chancel singer sang for us today. There's something about tangible. I was thinking about this. Valentine's Day is coming up. Just going to get it out there. I'm just noting that in the last few years, cards are great. Okay, cards are great. But the greeting card industry is going to estimates of about $1 billion they'll make over Valentine's. Okay, $1 billion. But the candy industry, friends, it's going to be double that and more. Because chocolate, man, chocolate. And then the floral industry, you can just imagine. There's 5 times as much that is going to be made. Chocolate and flowers than cards. I know in our house, it's like, Lisa's, go big or go to the sofa, come on. Let's show me the chocolate. Show me the chocolate, Sorry. But I'll pay for that. But anyway. But tangible. Something tangible that is important. Is love. There's something about love that has to be expressed in tangible ways. And it doesn't have to be elaborate to be authentic. I mean, Jesus said even a simple cup of cold water given to one of these because they're a follower of mine you will not lose your reward. Something authentic. Just sometimes it is a daily word of kindness. Sometimes in the midst of the impatience of the grocery store line, taking the time to know the name of the person that's working there and care. Sometimes it's just noticing and doing something with that. There was a little girl in the 80s in the third grade, and her teacher noticed that Lori was going to sleep in class. She just couldn't stay awake. She'd just go to sleep. And what she didn't know, the teacher didn't know, is that Lori's mom was single, trying to raise family and had two jobs, and that little Lori had responsibilities at home after school and had to do things while mom was away, and that she had a bedtime that was erratic. Just a lot going on in the home. And the teacher saw her and noticed her and began to find out about her story. She didn't know that this little girl would be transformed by that teacher noticing her and doing something about it, helping the family get some resources. That teacher didn't know that Lori would grow up to become a math teacher herself, a great math teacher. And she didn't know that Lori Rapp would later become the superintendent of the Louisville Independent School District and be named superintendent of the year last year for Area 11. She didn't know that. She just knew that there was a little girl that was needing some help. And so she tangibly did something tangible with her faith and her love. Sometimes it's just noticing someone and asking, God, what do you have me do? The starfish has become symbolic in that particular school district. Going back to that story, you may have heard the story. It's fictitious probably, but the story of a man on a beach that was one of those beaches that was just full of starfish that had gone up, swept up to the shore, and they were dying. And one morning, he just thought, I'm gonna do something about some of these. And he started throwing starfish back in the water. Somebody came up and said, what are you doing? There's hundreds of starfish. What difference does it make? What difference can you make? And he just picked up one and threw it in the ocean. It made a difference for that one. There may be people, they may be overwhelmed by the needs of the world. You read the news feed, oh, just overwhelming. What can I do? And there may be some, what difference can you make? But friends, one person, one seed of love, it'll make a difference for them. It'll make a difference for you. Love tangibly. We'll have an opportunity even this week, most likely, to love someone. Let's be in prayer about who that person or persons might be. Because we can make a difference. Because one has come tangibly in Jesus, loved us all the way to the cross and empty tomb, and offered us tangible elements to receive grace, that we can be instruments of grace. It'll make a difference. Will you pray with me? Oh God, as we prepare our hearts to come to this table, thank you that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that you came in Jesus. Thank you for Jesus and for the tangible ways that he loved and healed and forgave and loved us all the way to the cross, empty tomb, and the ascension, pouring out the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, inspire us this day to bear the fruit of the Spirit in tangible ways. Just as Jesus loved us, may we love. We pray this in his name, and all God's people said, amen.